Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
I just want to pick up on what Pranima said, actually. She ended with a very lovely thing. It doesn't matter where a child is. In the end, it's what they experience. And we must remember that, because we get a bit pressure sometimes about whether you're in the statutory or the private or the voluntary. The experience has to be the best, no matter what, because it's not fair. It's all very well for people to say, oh, well, in our setting, we do this and we have that. Well, that doesn't matter if the other child is down the road in another setting that's not doing that. So as a sector, guys, we have to have a single voice, which is the voice for the child. And we have to remember that. And this is the key time, because we're under a bit of pressure now, I think, and in a sense we have the chance to be articulate but also be mature about how we get on. And I think the only way we do that is we talk together as one and we actually raise our voices. To me, it's all about the leadership. You know, it's really critical. Leadership is concerned with everything, everything to do with it. And we know there's a raft of research that says if you haven't got good leadership, you haven't got very good settings. I think we've all had that experience personally. And it will leave you marked sometimes, or it leaves you angry and you want to go on and run your own centre and do everything that you had done to you not. But it is very hard to be leaders, and it's very hard to work in the sector, because I think Wendy made the point, nobody really understands the complexity of the job, particularly as it keeps changing as well. So I'm going to talk to you particularly about the business element of this, which you're all going to go boo and, you know, socks. But guys, if we don't get our business head sorted, we won't have any services for any children. And that's the message I give my staff when I go on and on to them about occupancy and debt management. And they're all worried about poor children. I said, there'll be no poor children in here if we don't get our act together, guys. They'll all be outside sitting, waiting for someone to do something. And having just had a day and a half at the Conservative conference, I can tell you, the pace of change ain't fast. Apparently this morning, all of you who have never read a Telegraph have now got the chance to buy one, because our new minister has written in it all about childcare and how she's going to reduce the cost of it. So I haven't got that myself, but I should be buying one on the way back. So I suspect your lunchtime reading should be on the Telegraph. Now, those of you who work for a leader, there's a good reason to have good leadership, because you get all of this as well. You get a much more productive team. You get higher quality work, which everybody wants. Especially as if we've started with the principle that, you know, if you're not very bright, you're dumb, dim and nice, but, you know, you do grand in childcare. That's really not the best start point for us. It's surprising in 2012, I don't know what happened to our feminist instincts from the 70s, but they seem to be lost. We still have this kind of attitude coming into the sector. You want more motivated staff who go the extra mile. We're not going to run our businesses without the extra mile. All of us do the extra mile and beyond. And if we don't, you'd have none of your dad's workshops on a Saturday, and you don't have your open days, and you don't have your parents' parties, and you don't have any of those things, because they're all extra mile. But actually, they're all critically key. So basically, if you have good leadership, you get that. You get people embrace change. I was having a conversation with one of my managers the other day, and he had this view that, you know, everything on the desk was going to be cleaned and he was going to be finished everything off. And I said, David, where are you coming from? There is no such thing as that. Change is the kind of continual wheel. There's never going to be a point when your desk is empty and then you think about starting something new. That we must stop worrying about the fact that somehow this change is going to be some fixed thing and that we're going to manage it, because it's never going to happen. So we've got to get into the wheel of change, really. You want people to work together as a team. And I'm not going to talk to you about your own teams right now, because that's a hard enough challenge anyway. I'm going to talk to us as a team for the child, you know, the UK team, the team that's going to argue that, for, you know, wherever, in whatever position you have, with parents, with the public, with the press, with the politicians, with your local council, amongst your local council, with your local councillors, the whole thing. We're all making our little tiny step of depression sometimes, it's true, but, you know, you might get a tiny chink, a little eye. I had this kind of rant the other day, surprisingly, at the Conservative conference about this thing about ratios. And I said to them, okay, so how many synaptic connections do you make every day? And they sort of looked at me. I said, because if a child is under 3, every second there's a synaptic connection. Now, we want those to be positive synaptic connections. And if you've got a very well-qualified member of staff, but she's only got 2 hips, and you have all those 2-year-olds out there, only 2 children at the most are on those hips. And we know relationships matter. We know children matter. We know synaptic connections matter. So what will we be doing reducing our ratios, tell me? It's just a load of rubbish. And so in some ways, I need you guys, all of you, to be saying the same thing. So qualifications is good, of course it is. But you know, small two-year-olds, 2 years and 1 minute, they are babies. They are babies. Remember that. And remember when we're talking about education for two-year-olds, in the end, it shouldn't matter whether they're in a school or a nursery, because they're going to be all over the place. They're going to be in tin shacks, I think, the way things are going. But the fact we have to remember as leaders, guys, is the philosophy of education for two-year-olds. So let's not confuse education with schooling, our school readiness. Let's keep our philosophy very clear that what we're talking about is small children who deserve a proper kind of education, for which women have, for the last 250 years, have advocated, and men before them, if you go back to the Froebels of this world. We don't need anyone else to tell us what to do. We need to tell them what to do. And two-year-olds deserve the best, and they deserve at least a human contact in the day. And that means keep the ratios. And I would increase the ratios, actually, but, you know, we can't afford that. So just as a little aside on the matter of ratios. So as leaders, though, we need to be thinking about that, striving for the best, and we all want to look forward to coming to work, because it's very depressing, isn't it, when you turn up on the Monday morning. And they've all rung in sick because they've all been clubbing in the latest club. And they all want to, you know, they all want to sleep with Ashley Banjo. And so, and they're all sick and you're trying to figure this out. And it's very hard to be motivated. And, you know, sometimes as a manager, you might say you have to go to Costco to buy resources just to go and have a little cry around the corner. But you recognize that, do you not? Yes. So we all do. So we know coming to work, we have to be really... You know, you have to be speeded up when you see that miserable face when you go in the morning and go, good morning, did you have a lovely weekend? Yes, there we are. And so you start thinking about the only way is Tesco. So we've just done some work on the two-year-olds and leading on the two-year-olds and with our colleagues at the National College. And we've kind of decided that this really is how you should lead. So we've kind of unpacked the leadership thing. There's no science in this. This is stuff we all know. But it's quite important for us to think about leading the two-year-olds, because two-year-olds are particularly special. And so we have to think about them. And that's another angle of our new leadership, because for some of you, you may not have worked with two-year-olds. Many of us, we've worked with it for all our lives. It's no big deal. But for some, it's new. And so we have to think about what's important with them. And these are the kind of critical thing that we picked out that we thought mattered. You have to learn to produce a business plan. I hate to talk to you like this, but you must know what a P&L is. You must know where your money comes in, your money goes out. You must know how to set it up. And you must just not just do lovely graphs in your PowerPoint, but you have to put money against it. And the word profit, I know, it'll drive you crazy. But actually, if you make a profit, you can do stuff with it. Profit is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It means you can do something interesting. It means you've got some money in the bank. It means you're not looking over your head all the time. It means that you're not dependent on contracts entirely. And if you have to charge for some of your things in your children's centres, get off your high horses, guys, and bring the money in. The more money you have, the more services you can run, the more you can offer to people who really need it. So let's kind of get beyond that kind of blocking in our head that all profit is bad. No, it's what you do with profit can be bad. And if you're all driving in Jaguars, we'll all know where it went. But in reality, listen, if we were anywhere near a profit, we'd be, you know, feeling particularly good. Right now, the word deficit is a much more commonplace word. So you have to look at your income sources. Now be brave, be clever. Think about your buildings. Think about what's on offer. Think what you can sell it to. Think of the expertise you got wrapped up, the whole lot of you. But you'd never think, oh, I couldn't possibly do that. Oh, no, no, not me. No, 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 no. You know, there is a bank and rank of such experience and expertise out there that we're not using and that we could be using more. And you see some smart cookies operating programs and baby cafes, and you look at that and you think, well, I could do that. That's a brilliant idea. I could work with them. I could collaborate with them. I could bring them in. I could do all sorts of things. If you're going to survive, and we need you to survive, we all must survive, then you have to start thinking about how you identify your income sources. Listen, there's no money in the country, you know that. When I went to see Mr. Gove, I turned up with a plate of biscuits that the children had baked in the morning. And I said to him, well, it's very nice to meet you, Mr. Gove, but and I do realise that there's no money in the country, and we were invited for tea, so I brought the cakes. We're at that level. I didn't charge him that time, I have to say, but, you know, we work on it. Market yourself. Who are your audience? All this thing about yummy mummies and stuff, you know, and oh, we can't have them in because they're too rich or too posh. Of course you can. Charge them. You know, they pay Starbucks. It's, I mean, and their mummies like anybody else, and some of them are really quite lonely and quite sad, actually. So think about these things. Be creative. Look at who you can sell to, who you can buy from, who you can work with. Market yourself. Think about your USP. And tell your staff what to expect. That means they have to be smart. Now when I go in, they don't even say hello. They say, my occupancy is 72%, you know. My debt is really low. My child ratios is just on target. You know, it's just on target. It's a kind of, it's a whole conversation we've never had before, you know. But you have to get them to understand it. And they're very sad about this because they're very worried that, you know, if you get so obsessed by the business, you'll forget the curriculum and the relationships that matter. But if you don't do something about the business, there will be no curriculum and relationships. And then what's going to happen to our children? So be customer focused. Think about your parent journey. Think about your child's journey. Think about your staff journey. And stop using the word stakeholder. It's a really desperate word. This is from the olden days. I mean, I remember DLOs, but in fact, I rather like that. And I think that's smart. And I think we should hang on. We shouldn't throw everything out with the bathwater. The EYFS is grand, and at least lots of it was retained. But, you know, what was good doesn't have to be thrown out. And it kind of sums up quite nicely where we're at. And I want to just pick up on one particular element of it. We do quite a lot of measurement at LEAF. I didn't say I run LEAF, did I? Anyway, we're the London Early Years Foundation. We're a social enterprise. We do quite a lot of measurements. And the EPI, I love EPI. I love what they did in EPI. And I love things like Eckers and ITERS and Leuven. And they're very easy to work. And they don't have to be charged a fortune. So if you could do some kind of deal with them, you'd be doing very well. And selling places to somebody else, so it pays for itself. But they're nice measurements. They're nice measurements. And they're not perfect, but they're much better than no measurement at all. So when you're thinking about social impact, think about things we already have. We're always too inclined to start trying to reinvent the wheel or to start again or need more research. No, there's loads of good things out there that prove that quality matters. Because everyone said this morning, quality matters. We all know quality matters. We must like children. It's only fair. If you don't like children, then go and work for the Dragon's Den or something, and then, you know, you'll really make money. But, you know, you really must like children. For me, I worry about my staff. I haven't been able to give them a pay rise for an age. But, you know, in the meantime, we have things like, you know, these kind of things. And from 2012, you'll have to give your staff a pension. We give them a generous pension. That's because I worry that women are going to be poor for a long time. Because much of the pension bills and stuff have been against women for a very long time, but nobody's kind of noticed it. And actually, we're going to live quite a long time, and to be living long and to be poor is a pretty desperate place to be. So I've always been quite generous with our pensions. Keep your eye on the ball, guys. Your key metrics for survival in our case, now they're different for everybody, but in our case, they're the revenue, money in, money out. So you try and get the money in and spend no money. Occupancy, you have to know what your target is for survival. Debt management, and I know it's cruel and it's terrible and staff hate having to deal with it. It's one of the big things, dealing with conflict, dealing with money issues. And it's horrible that we get some of our managers to be both the debt collector and the supporter. It's a terrible thing to do, and I've tried to do it by having a debt manager in the head office. But I run 24 nurseries across 6 fabulous London boroughs. They're here. They're fabulous. In fact, Kensington and Chelsea are here, so that's a very good sign. But, you know, to me, it's about balancing that out. And your staff costs. Watch. I know I say you should have good ratios, but watch them. I go in sometimes and there's three staff sitting around chewing their thumbs and there's 2 babies. What's that all about? Or you have the thing about, oh, I'm in the baby room. I can't cover in the up room. Oh, no. So like, okay, you're running 4 nurseries in 1 nursery site? So you're a social impact we talked about, and for us it's easy. This is what we do. We multiply duration by dosage by quality by home learning environment. And I wish Chris was here because I want to pin him down to have a look at how do we show that home learning environment really works. We're not doing enough on that, yet there is a raft of research that says, in the end, it's what happens at home that matters. So we don't know that all the bags we send home and all the worksheets we send, whether they matter or not. And we need to really measure that. So that's our social impact. Time, we know from EPI, it says we should really have those children for 36 months, by a minimum of 15 hours a week, by the key quality indicators, which I use as ITERS and Eckers and Leuven, by home learning environment. But that's our model, and we're happy to share it. Consider growth and investment. I'm telling you that. And then think about this. And just imagine you're on the late night bus. All right? How many of you are so poor you have to travel on the late bus? Oh, that's just me then. But if you're on the very late bus, the N22 particularly, The guy is obviously a lunatic and he's driving at 9,000 miles an hour because he wants to get home. But I'd say hang on in there and just imagine that that's what we're on at the moment. We're on the late N22. We're hanging on for dear life because this is an opportunity as much as it is a terrible and worrying situation. We can do some really magical things. Here's some food for thought before you go. One, I'm looking to develop the qualifications for early years chefs. Think about that for something. I'm about to launch the London Network for Men in Childcare because 8% of my staff are men. You're very welcome to come, but you have to read my blog and follow our Twitter and then you'll get all the dates. And if you just email me, I'll invite you. We have to do things like, we do quite a lot of action research. We're doing a piece of research at the moment actually asking the children whether they notice the difference between a man and a woman. And what is it they like about working with staff and stuff? Because quite a lot about barriers. And somebody over there said about status. I am damned if we have to wait for men to come into this sector to increase the status. Because what the hell does that say about us as women? That we're prepared to work for nothing and we count as nothing. So I think we have to find a different reason to get men in there. I've talked to you about ratios. And there are some fantastic crossovers. Like what's happening with the elderly. How much can we share with our colleagues about what we know about good children's centres, about good nurseries that we could share with our colleagues? We have a raft of experience, knowledge and understanding that we should share. And finally, guys, we need to be sorting out things like vitamin D, you know, all those kind of scary things. And we need much more public campaigns about what we know that's good for children and good for families. And parents will listen to us because they'll take us seriously. So if you have any doubts as to what we should be doing with children, let me just leave you with a quote from Rousseau. Because obviously they're all erudite up here, so I had to figure out one before I left, and they were talking about Horace. So, okay, this is him, back in the day, saying, "You're worried about seeing him spend his early years doing nothing." What? Is it nothing to be happy? Nothing to skip, to play, to run around all day? Never in his life will he be so busy again. Let me leave you that thought. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from PolicyReview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.